بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, as we are all well aware that tonight is the 27th of Ramadan. The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded that search for Laylatul Qadr, search for the night of power. During the odd nights of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give you, the forgiveness, mercy, barakat, blessings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give you on this night, you won't find it through the rest of the year. And from the hadith we understand also, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ummatum marhuma. It is that ummah, that nation upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special rahmat and mercy descends. That although this ummah will be the last to come into this world, but they will be the first to enter Jannat on the day of Qiyamah. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that Jannat will be made haram, impermissible, forbidden, upon any other nation until and unless my ummah does not enter. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, and the pious people of the past, how many they were who had dedicated their lives to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their nights were spent in ibadat. Their days were spent in ibadat. But they were not from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will have to wait their turn. That every person from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, no matter the condition of his iman, no matter how far away he may have been from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be honored with entry into Jannat. That this ummah will have the shortest lifespan, but their actions will weigh the most in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. That any ummati who will do a good action, a good statement, a kind word to someone, he will assist and help someone, he will read two rakats of salah, then Allah declares, minimum he will get 10 times reward. إِلَىٰ أَضْعَافٍ كَثِيرًا. And this will then be multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to give this ummah based on their niyat and intention alone. That the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who will intend an evil deed, he will have that thought cross his mind that I must break the command of Allah, whatever it may be. And he will plan and plot and decide how to do that evil deed. He will make all the arrangements to do it. And he will be on the verge of committing that act of guna, of sin. But right at the last moment, he'll hold back. He'll restrain himself. He'll withhold himself. He'll think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will say to him, for you there is no guna, no sin. Although you made all the plans, all the arrangements, every stage was set for you to break the command of Allah. You were about to commit that act of guna and sin, but you held back. It's as though you never thought of it. And that person who will intend a good deed, the thought will cross his mind, let me do something for the pleasure of Allah. No matter how small that amal, that deed may be, just the thought will cross his mind. He'll entertain it for a short while and then he forgets about it. He doesn't plan to do it. He doesn't make any arrangements to do it. He doesn't take time out to do it. But because of his intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, as though you did that deed. As though you did it with sincerity, you will get the full reward. Allah is prepared to give us on our intentions alone. How important, beloved brothers and elders, as we are seated here tonight, that we ask ourselves, what is our intention? What niyat, what intentions do we have within our heart and our mind? What intention do I have for my life? That have I questioned myself as yet? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put me here? What is the reason for my existence in this world? And everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, all the resources, all the faculties, the intelligence, the usage of my limbs, my wealth, my wife, my children, my business, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me, what is the reason for this? What is the purpose behind my existence? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. علامة آلوسي رحمه الله says, the sole objective, the sole maqsood, the sole goal of the life of insan is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I must come to know who is my Allah. What is Allah giving me and what is Allah prepared to give me? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me into this world. To recognize Him, to learn about Him, to understand who He is. But my own condition I know. is I have tasted the sweetness in everything else. I have tasted the sweetness of dunya. I have tasted the sweetness in my car, in my home, in my hobbies, in my holidays, in my passions. But have I tasted the sweetness of iman as yet? Ulama explained to us right now, this period that we are going through, in the air around us, in the atmosphere around us, in the air waves, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. The forgiveness of Allah is there. The barakat of Allah is there. The nur of Allah is there. But have I tuned my heart to the correct frequency? Am I picking up the airwaves of Allah's mercy? Or is it any ordinary month for me? That the Salafus Salihin of the past, from the time of Rajab, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban, they could already sense something was different. The month of Allah's mercy is coming. The month of Allah's forgiveness is coming. The month where Allah will free so many souls from the fire of Jahannam is coming. The air was different, the environment was different. They could feel that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how far a person may be, no matter how far a person may be, ulama have explained in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody has reached the point of no return. There is nobody who has gone too far. Nobody is a write-off. No matter how far away he may think he is, his entire life has come out in the disobedience of Allah. His parents also are saying, I'm tired of you. His friends are saying, you are taking us to the wrong places. He can't get rid of some evil habits in his life. Allah says, you are not a write-off in my court. The Hindu person, his entire life came out in the temple, worshipping some idol. Not once in his life he had tawfiq to take the name of Allah. And his Muslim friend sees him in a dream after he has passed away. And this Hindu man is roaming in the gardens of Jannat. And he's stopping to drink from the fresh streams of Jannat. Dressed in beautiful white clothing, garments of honor and respect. He asks him, oh uncle, what has happened to you? You were a Hindu. How is it that Allah has put you into Jannat? So he says, that word which was haram for me in this world. It was haram for me to take the name of Allah. But before I left this world, Allah gave me tawfiq to recite kalima. Why? Why did Allah bless you? He says, the month of Ramadan would come. And I knew this was a sacred time for the Muslims. I knew how difficult it was for them to fast during the days of Ramadan. So when it was time for me to take my lunch, I would go into the innermost portion of my shop. I would close the door behind me. And quietly, I would hide myself and eat my lunch. My Muslim staff mustn't see me eating. Because of this reverence and respect for the month of Ramadan, because I understood how sacred this month was, Allah favored me with hidayat, with iman. Before I left this world, I read kalima, Allah has put me into the gardens of Jannat. In the court of Allah, nobody has reached the point of no return. Allah has left the door open for us. One pious person was on the minbar of the masjid, he's giving a bayan. And he's saying to the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we make an effort, Allah will open the doors of His mercy. So from the house that was adjoining the masjid, there was a pious woman who was there, engaged in the ibadat of Allah. She hears the statement of this alim, that that person who will make an effort, Allah will open the doors of His mercy for him. So she screams out from the back, that, O Shaykh, O Imam, since when were Allah's doors ever closed? That you are saying Allah will open His doors. I have never heard of Allah ever closing His doors. Allah's doors are open. Allah wants to give us, as we mentioned before, who is there to take? Who is there to draw from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah has given us these beautiful nights during the month of Ramadan for us to connect with Him. For us to experience that connection, that relationship that Allah has kept within the heart of each and every mu'min. The ability to communicate with Allah, to speak to Allah, to confide in Allah, to share our secrets with Allah, to ask assistance from Allah, to ask for help from Allah. Allah has given the capacity, the ability to each and every one of us. But as we mentioned, I have not yet tasted the sweetness of iman. I've tasted the sweetness of everything else. Like ulama give the example of that ant, which is standing on the ground. And the ant raises its head and it sees far above that grapevine is there, and there's a juicy sweet leaf that is there. And the ant thinks to itself, if I can reach that leaf, this will be the pinnacle of my existence. How fresh and how tasty it will be. So he prepares for that climb and he knows it's going to be a difficult journey. The distance is far, the wind is blowing, there's dust in the air, His legs are small, but he begins that climb and he starts moving. And after what seems like an eternity, finally he gets close to that leaf. And now he can smell the fragrance. And he can see the beads of water dropping off from it. And he pushes himself, finally he gets there and he takes one bite. Subhanallah, how juicy, how fresh. That burst of flavor goes through his mouth. And he thinks to himself, I will spend the rest of my life here. This is the pinnacle of joy, of pleasure, of happiness. Mashayikh say, if only there was someone to tap that ant and say, oh ant, why don't you lift your head up just a little bit more? And you will see in the distance, there's a fresh, sweet grape that Allah has kept. And if only you will take yourself out of your comfort zone, you will push yourself a little bit, you will move a little bit more, then you will get to taste the sweetness of that grape. And when you taste the flavor and the sweetness and the enjoyment Allah has kept in that, you will realize your life on that leaf was a deception. It was a dhoka, there was no enjoyment. It was bland and boring. What you thought was enjoyment was nothing. This is true enjoyment. Ulama explained that leaf is the dunya. That I am stuck on that leaf right now. I've tasted the sweetness or the so-called enjoyment. Every holiday that I go for, every time I buy a new car, every time I upgrade my home, every time I indulge myself in the things of dunya, I taste the sweetness, I taste the enjoyment. But little do I realize that this is a dhoka, it's a deception. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your life in dunya is just play and amusement. You're playing with the toys of this world. Like how Mashayikh give the example that a young boy, 4 or 5 years old, he goes with his father to the grocery shop. His father is buying fruit and vegetables. And the child's eye falls on that plastic car that's hanging on the shelf. And how his heart gets caught. I want it, I want it, I want it, I have to have it. His father will say to him, you've got 10 like this at home, but I want this one. I need it. He starts to cry. The tears are streaming down his cheeks. He makes such a commotion, the person next door says, just buy it for him, I'll pay for it. Don't make the child cry. The father buys it for him, takes him home. He can't wait to get home. He's opening it in the car already. The entire afternoon comes out playing with that toy. But we know by nightfall, what is the condition? The wheels are lying in one room. The roof is lying somewhere else. That car is already bent and broken. He's forgot about it. And then that same boy grows up. He gets a little bit older. And now his eyes fall on the stainless steel, the metal one. Now I don't want the plastic car any longer. This is a real life replica. He sees the advert, he sees it in the shop window. And again his heart is caught. Oh my father, I want that one. I have to have it, I'll put it on my dressing room table. That's my dream car. I'll be able to see it every day. And he makes promises to his father, I'll clean my room. I'll study hard. I'll get good results. His father buys it for him. For the first week, he'll put it there. He'll look at it every day. He'll open the doors, open the bonnet. He'll clean that car. But eventually, that also is forgotten. And then he grows up a bit more. Now he doesn't want a toy car any longer. Now he wants a quad bike. He'll insist. He'll tell his father, you have to buy a trailer also. And put a tow bar on the car. I want that quad bike. My friends have. And my cousins have. And how much of enjoyment I'll get, his father gives in, he buys it for him. And then that same young boy now becomes an adult. Now he's no longer looking at the toys that a youngster looks at. Now he's looking at an adult's toy. Now he looks at the real car. And I want the keys to the real car. I'll take my friends and I'll go. Mashayikh say it's not that we have grown up. When we were young, we were playing with children's toys. Now we're playing with big boys' toys. I'm still caught up in it. My heart is still there. It's just that it has become bigger. It has become fancier. It has become more real, but there's no reality. The young girl is playing with a plastic tea set. She's pouring tea, imaginary, for her grandfather. He tells her how tasty it is. Then she grows up, she wants a better one. Again, she also becomes an adult, a young woman. She's married now, she tells her husband, I want the porcelain set. It must be imported, we'll get guests, we need to serve them tea in this. She also is just playing with toys. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ Allah says your life in dunya is just play. But for insan, to look beyond that, to taste the sweetness of Iman. The Salaf al-Saliheen, pious of the past, they understood this. For them, Jannat was a reality. Jahannam was a reality. Akhirat was a reality. They understood my life in this world is temporary. Whatever challenges will come, I'll overcome it. But my eye is on my final destination. Abu Qudama rahimahullah. He was a Syrian living in Madinah Munawwara. Always at the forefront of jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So somebody asks him on one occasion, "Oh Abu Qudama, tell me, what is the most amazing incident you have witnessed in the path of Allah? You have been for so many campaigns and so many expeditions. There must be something amazing that you can share with us." So he says, "On one occasion I was in Raqqa in Iraq. And I was in the marketplace, I was looking to buy a camel upon which I could carry my weapons in the path of Allah. And while I was in the marketplace, an elderly woman came up to me. And she says, 'Are you Abu Qudama?' So I replied in the affirmative. So she pulls out something from beneath her cloak. And she hands me a rope. And she says to me that Allah has blessed me with long hair. And this rope I have made out of the hair of my head. I have one request from you. That the next time you are in the path of Allah, and the armies meet, and the arrows are flying, and the dust is swirling, then take this rope and use it as the reins of your horse. I have hope if I can't be there, at least my hair will witness the battlefield. Because I heard the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that the dust that will settle on the body of a person in the path of Allah will become haram for Jahannam." And then she says to him, "Oh Abu Qudama, I am a widow. My husband has been made shaheed in the path of Allah. My brothers have been made shaheed in the path of Allah. I have just one asset left in this world. Allah has blessed me with a son who is the coolness of my eyes. And he has just turned 15 years of age. Allah has blessed him with physical beauty. Allah has blessed him with physical strength. He has mastered the art of archery. He has mastered the art of swordsmanship. I have one request from you. My son is away right now. But if he comes back and you are still in our town, please allow him to join you." Abu Qudama leaves, he forgets about this meeting. A few days pass and he has to leave Raqqa. The army is prepared and they are traveling. And he sees in the distance a horseman is coming at a very fast pace. And as that horseman approaches, he screams out, "Oh Abu Qudama, wait for me, may Allah have mercy upon you." So he says to his companions that, "You continue, let me see who this is." As that horseman comes close, he sees it's a youngster. Striking appearance, handsome face. The youngster says to him, "Oh Abu Qudama, I thank Allah that he has given me the chance to accompany you. I ask you, please permit me to join you in this expedition." So Abu Qudama says to him that, "You seem to be very young. Do you have a father?" He said, "My father has passed away." "Do you have a mother?" "Yes, my mother is alive." "Then go and ask her permission." He says, "Oh Abu Qudama, do you not recognize me? I am the son of that woman who kept her trust with you. My mother has taken an oath that I should not return home. And she held my hand and she made dua that, oh Allah, this is my last remaining asset in this world. I am handing him over as a gift to you in your path. You accept him and allow him to reach the level of his father. Make him a shaheed in your path. So please permit me to join you." Abu Qudama gives in, he allows this youngster to join. And he says, as we continued to travel, the beauty of this youngster continued to open up to me. His akhlaq, his character, his devotion. By day he would make the tasbih of Allah. He would make tilawat of Quran. When we would set up camp, he would make our khidmat and service. He would assist us with cooking our meals. And at night when everyone was asleep, he would stand up in tahajjud salah. Until finally we reached a destination. We were one day's journey away from the enemy. And this youngster falls asleep at night. So he says, as I was walking amongst the camp, I come across this youngster lying down on his bedding and a broad smile on his face. And as I pass by him, his eyes open and he looks at me. So I ask him, "What has happened that has caused you to smile like this?" So he says, "Oh Abu Qudama, Allah has shown me a dream which has pleased me very greatly. In my dream, I was walking through the gardens of Jannat. And as I passed a hill or a mountain, I came across a beautiful palace decorated with the rubies, with jewels, with emeralds. And I saw beautiful maidens who were walking around the garden of that particular palace. And when I got closer, I heard them whispering to one another that this is the husband of Mardiyah. So I asked them, who is Mardiyah? So they pointed me in a certain direction that go there and you will find her. So I began to run in that direction. My interest was piqued. I wanted to know, who is this? He says, as I crossed over the next hill, I came across an even more beautiful palace. Again decorated with emeralds, with jewels, with rubies. And right at the top of that palace was a room. And that room was draped in red velvet. And again I saw beautiful maidens running around the garden. When I got closer, they said, we are the servants of Mardiyah. But go, she is waiting for you, she is in her room. So he says, I ascended the steps of the palace. And as I reached that room and I opened the door, I see in the middle of that room a beautiful bed, the legs made of silver, and beautiful velvet cushions on that bed. And sitting on that bed was a woman of such striking beauty, such a glow on her face. He says, if Allah didn't protect me, my eyesight would have gone. And she says to me, O servant of Allah, I am yours and you are mine. He says, I stretch my hand out to embrace her. And she says, hold on, not right now. Our meeting will be tomorrow after Zuhar Salah. And then my eyes open. O Abu Qudama, make dua that Allah fulfills this dream of mine. The army spends the night. The next morning the battle begins. And Abu Qudama says, this youngster is at the forefront, fighting bravely. So he says, I go up to him and I tell him, why don't you take a step back? That we are experienced campaigners. We have been in so many battles like this. Allow us to stand in the front line. This youngster says to him, have you not read the words of Allah? That إِذَا لَقِيتُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا زَحْفًا فَلَا تُوَلُّوهُمُ الْأَدْبَارِ. When you will encounter the enemy on the battlefield, don't turn back. And just as we were speaking to one another, the enemy attacked. And he says, it was a fierce attack, we got separated. And this continued for some time. By mid-morning, he says, the dust had settled. And I began to walk around the battlefield. And I found my companions. Someone was bleeding. Someone's hand was cut off. Someone's leg was cut off. Until eventually I came across this youngster. In his last few moments of his life. So I go up to him. And I say to him, what is your condition? So with a broad smile on his face, he says, oh Abu Qudama, that same beautiful maiden who I had seen in my dream last night, she is standing at my headside and she's calling out to me that come to me, come to me, come to me. The time for our meeting has come close. He says, O Abu Qudama, Allah has honored me with shahadat. Take my kurta and go back to my mother and tell her that Allah has blessed your child. So Abu Qudama takes the kurta of this youngster. And he goes back to Raqqa. When he meets this old woman, she says to him, have you come to console me or have you come as a bearer of glad tidings? So he says, what do you mean? She says, if you have brought my son back safe and sound, you have come with consolation. But if you give me the news that Allah has accepted him, you are giving me glad tidings. He says, oh woman, rejoice, Allah has accepted your son. She raises her hands, oh Allah, I make shukr to you, I thank you, that you have accepted my gift that I have sent for you. And you have allowed my son to reach the level of his father. Both have got shahadat. Jannat was a reality for them, respected brothers and elders. They understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for them. On the day of Qiyamah, sahaba will also come. Somebody's hand will be cut off. Somebody's legs will be cut off. Somebody will have a gash in his head. Somebody's chest will be split open. That I lost this limb in that battle. I lost that limb in that campaign. I was injured in this battle. It should not be, my beloved youth and friends, that we also come in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. My leg is also broken, my ankle is also sprained. Where did you lose this limb of yours? Oh youngster of the 21st century, where did you lose this limb, in which battle? It should not be that my answer is, this was on the battle of the AstroTurf. That I lost my leg here. That leg that Allah gave me to walk to the masjid. We say to the boys in madrasa also, every few weeks somebody is reading salah on the chair. You're 18, 19 years old, what has happened? AstroTurf, soccer, cricket. The legs Allah gave me to walk to the masjid. The forehead Allah gave me to place on the ground in sajda before him. My limbs and my energy And my resources Allah has given me to use it for His deen. For the Salaf al-Salihin, this was a reality. They understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for them. As the Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Saaf rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, when a person is embarking on a journey and the journey is unknown, he doesn't know the route, he hasn't traveled before, he hasn't done his research, then he's afraid. One person asked Abu Hazim rahimahullah, he says, tell us that as Muslims we have heard about Jannat, we have read about Jannat, but still we don't desire to get there. That feeling doesn't come in our heart. I still want to remain here. What's the reason? He says, عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ. That you have made yourself so comfortable in dunya. Everything is taken care of around you. You know all the shortcuts. وَخَرَّبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ. But you haven't sent anything forth for your akhirat. So, Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that a person is going on a journey and he doesn't know what's coming ahead. Then he is afraid. That I don't know where the speed traps are. I don't know where the potholes will be, where the road will turn sharply. But when he learns about it, then he's at ease. Then he's prepared for the journey, he can't wait to go. So he explains for a mu'min the journey of maut, of death. And this is a reality is going to happen. I may think I'm still young, I'm still in school, I've got my entire life ahead of me. I've still got to get married and have children and grandchildren. But we don't know when my name is going to be called. So he says that journey that is waiting for you is a pleasurable journey. For the mu'min, it is not something to be afraid of. It's just that we have not acquainted ourselves with the details. What has Allah kept for us? So he explains when the time comes for a mu'min to leave this world, then just like that youngster goes to the surgery of the doctor, and the doctor needs to give him an injection, so to divert, to distract the mind of the child, he'll wave some lollipop or some toy in the corner. And the child, look at this, this is what you will get. And then some anesthetic is applied. And before the child knows it, that injection is given. So he says, Allah will send a delegation of angels from Jannat with a silken cloth with the perfume of Jannat. And as the angel of death is going to take the soul of a person, these angels will place that cloth beneath his nose. And in this way, distract him. This will become an anesthetic. And very easily his soul will leave his body. And then just as in this world when some VIP comes to our country, we find how the red carpet is rolled out for him. The soldiers are made to stand on either side. Allah will cause a delegation of angels to line up. That marhaba, welcome, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. You sacrificed in this dunya. When the temptation and desire came, you held yourself back. Despite having the strength, the energy, you knew nobody would find out about it. But still you held yourself back. You thought of akhirat. You thought of Jannat. You made those deals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the reception. Before we can give that person ghusl, Allah will send the angels to wash him with the water of Jannat. Before he is shrouded, the clothing from Jannat will be brought down. And that will become his kafan. And then he will say to the people around him, but they can't hear, that qaddimuni, 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 take me to my grave. I have seen what Allah has kept for me. I have seen the bounties of Jannat already. The hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The last person to come out of the fire of Jahannam. After the people of Jannat are in Jannah, people of Jahannam are in Jahannam. Allah will say to the angels, go and see if there is anybody with iman in his heart who is still burning in Jahannam. The angels will go and they will come back. Oh Allah, there is one person. فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِّنْ إِيمَانٍ. He has just an atom's weight of iman in his heart. Barely any good deeds, but he preserved his iman. He left this world with iman. Allah will say, take him out of Jahannam. فَخَرَجَكَ الْحُمَمْ. The hadith sharif mentioned, he will come out burnt like a coal. And he will address Allah, قَدْ قَشَبَنِي رِيحُهَا وَأَحْرَقَنِي ذَكَاؤُهَا. Oh Allah, the flames have burnt me. The wind of Jahannam has scorched my throat. Please just save me from going back into this adab and punishment. So Allah will say to him, I'll give you one chance. One request you can make from me. And you will not be allowed anything else. He'll say, one request I have, anqidhni. Just save me from Jahannam. I don't want anything from you. I don't want any bounties, any blessings. Just don't put me back there. Allah will say to him, O my slave, is this your only request? Promise to me that you will not ask for anything else. Ya Rabbi wa izzati, can say, O Allah, I swear by your honor and grandeur, I will not make any other request to you. Allah will say, no problem, granted. And as he is resting, years and years in the fire of Jahannam, he is taking a breather. And he'll see in the distance a beautiful oasis, a palm tree, fresh, clear water to drink. And that desire will come into his heart. So he'll call out, Ya Rabbi. O my Rabb, please just take me closer to that spring. Allow me to drink from its water. Allah will say, didn't I tell you? You will never be satisfied with what I give you. You're asking again. What guarantee do I have you won't ask a third time? Again he'll say, Ya Rabbi wa izzatik. O Allah, I swear by your honor, this is my last and final request. Allah will say to the angels, take him there. And when he is resting under the shade of that tree, now he will see an even more beautiful tree in the distance. Again that feeling will come into his heart, O Allah, upgrade my accommodation. Again, my last request, I won't ask again. So Allah will say to him again, I told you how I have created you. In our words, I give you a finger, you'll take my hand. What guarantee do I have this is your last request? Again, the same question, same answer. And then in the distance, he will see the door of Jannat. And the beauty of the door of Jannat, the Hadith Sharif mentions, that a person will stare transfixed for years on end. Perhaps Sahaba Ikram couldn't understand this. Today's time, we know, we see the doors that are created, or the doors that are on different people's homes. How much of design and decoration, and thousands of rands are spent just on one front door. We can imagine the beauty of the door of Jannat. So he will go close and he will peek into Jannat. And he will see that there are many people there. And they are all busy doing different activities. So he'll call out to Allah. And very slyly he'll say, Oh Allah, it seems as though Jannat is very full. There's no more place for just one more person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, Oh my slave, the doors of Jannat will be open. And when Nabi Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is narrating this hadith to his students, he begins to smile at them. So they say, Oh Abdullah, why are you smiling? He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned this to us and he also smiled. We asked him, Oh Nabi of Allah, what is causing you to smile? So he says, I am smiling at the reaction that this person will give before Allah. That Allah will say to him, the doors will be open. And now, Ya Abdi tamanna ma shi. Desire to your heart's content. What do you want? Design your home, design your car, choose your clothing, choose your appearance. Decide how big your biceps and triceps must be. Choose your spouse or your spouses. You decide the bounties you want, the food you want. So this person will reply to Allah, أَتَسْتَهْزِئُ بِي وَأَنْتَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Allah, are you making a joke out of me? You mocking me? Is this true? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam began to smile. That this will be the position of the last jannati. The lowest jannati we can imagine, respected brothers and elders. In these beautiful moments Allah has given us, if we will make those deals with Allah, if we will make that, sign that contract with Allah. Right now I am afraid to take that jump. I know what is right. I know which direction I should be going in. But I have become so comfortable in my dunya. The example that mashayikh have given, that a young child who is standing at the edge of the pool, and his father is telling him, jump and I will catch you. Jump and I will catch you. The child is afraid. He doesn't want to take that jump. Because he feels confident, I'm standing on firm ground right now. I don't know what will happen if I jump in the air. And his father says to him, just trust me and jump. When that child will pluck up the courage and he will jump, the ecstasy he will feel, that enjoyment that will go through his heart as he is flying through the air. And now he jump. His father catches him in his arms. He'll say to him, send me out, I want to jump again. And I want to jump again. And again, his father will say, it's time to go home now. He'll say, please, one more time, two more times. He's tasted the sweetness. Ulama say, have we become ready to jump for Allah? Right now, I am very confident where I am in my life. If I don't give up that illicit relationship, what's going to happen to me? Right now I am standing on firm ground. I know my needs, or so-called needs, are taken care of. I'm getting the enjoyment, I'm getting the sweetness, I'm getting the pleasure. If I give it up, what's going to happen? Will there be anybody who is going to catch me? A person is involved in substance abuse. He just can't give it up. He knows the enjoyment he's getting from it. He knows the peer pressure that comes his way. What's going to happen if I leave it? What's going to happen if I change my life? If I change the condition of my dressing, what will my friends say to me? What will my family members say to me? That girl who wants to go into hijab, she knows what is right. But my friends will mock at me, they'll laugh at me. My cousins won't want to keep my company any longer. They'll say I've become too pious. If I jump, will there be anyone to catch me? Allah says, jump, I will catch you. Jump, I will catch you, I'm waiting for you. Allah says, I'm waiting for you. These nights, these beautiful moments Allah has given us in the month of Ramadan. It may be the night of Qadr, it may not be the night of Qadr, for us to sign that contract with Allah. I'm prepared to give up my life of guna and sin. No matter what the past is, I'm ready to look past the past. I'm ready to turn a new chapter in my life. I will give it up for the sake of Allah. Allah has kept those bounties, those blessings for me in Jannah. Allah has kept, it is a reality. The sweetness of Iman is a reality. Qabr is a reality. Akhirat is a reality. Jannah is a reality. Now is the time for us to make those deals with Allah, my respected brothers and elders. No matter what fears we may have, no matter how apprehensive we may be, the future is uncertain. If I change my life, what's going to happen to me? But put all of that aside, shaitan will make every effort. Shaitan will make every effort to make a person turn away, to prevent him from taking that step. But how strong are we right now? The youngster knows how strong he is when he goes to the gym. How much of iron he's pumping. It can be 3 o'clock in the morning, he slept at 2 o'clock, but he'll wake up. I need to get there. I need to strengthen my body. Now is the time for us to show our real strength. The strength of our iman, the strength of our hearts. Allah has kept these moments for us to make the deal with Allah. Don't look back and then see the difference Allah will bring about in our lives. Our lives will become sweet. Our relationship with our families will become sweet. Our relationship with our children will become pleasurable. Our relationship with our parents will become enjoyable. Allah will give us jannat in this world also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله إليك يرجع الأمر كله وعلانيته وسره اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك اللهم لك الحمد لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين Oh my beloved Allah, Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most loving Allah, most kind Allah, most compassionate Allah, most tolerant Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, we have raised our hands up before you tonight, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we have come to you with lives of guna and sin, oh my Allah, with bucket loads of guna and sin, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, from the time of buluh till now, we were heedless, oh my Allah. We were in a state of complete ghaflat, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we heard about Jannat and Jahannam. We didn't think it is a reality, oh my Allah. We saw janaza after janaza passing by. We didn't take heed, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we continued to be brave and bold and break your commands, oh my Allah. In the day we broke your commands, in the night we broke your commands, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, despite the warnings around us, despite the earthquakes and the floods and the droughts and everything taking place in the world, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, it didn't open our eyes. We didn't realize that one day we will have to stand before you, oh my Allah. One day we will have to answer for every action that we had done in this world, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, in the dead of night we did those actions. We thought nobody was watching, oh my Allah. We thought nobody will come to know about it, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you knew what was going through our minds, oh my Allah. You knew the thoughts going through our hearts, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you knew every movement of ours, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, if you wanted, you could have snatched away our limbs from us, my Allah. You could have taken away our ability to breathe at that moment, oh my Allah. But oh my Allah, you still gave us, you gave us so many bounties and ni'mats, oh my Allah. You continued to feed us, you continued to clothe us, you continued to shelter us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we are raising our hands tonight and expressing our regret before you, my Allah. Ya Allah, we regret our lives of guna and sin, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are sorry for what we did, my Allah. Ya Allah, that small child will cause a mess in the house. The mother is angry, the father is angry, but the child will come with tears in his eyes. He'll look at his mother and say, oh my mother, I am sorry, I won't do it again. The mother would pyar and shafqat and compassion in her heart will forgive that child. Oh my Allah, we are raising our hands before you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are saying to you, we are sorry, oh my Allah. We won't do it again, oh my Allah. We won't do it again, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you know how strong nafs and shaitan have become, oh my Allah. When that wave of desire and temptation hits our heart, oh my Allah, how weak we become. We can't hold back, we can't abstain. It's as though we forget everything, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you tonight, oh my Allah, give us the strength of Iman, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq when temptation comes in front of us to avoid it, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, don't let us break a single command of yours, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the hearts of your awliya and friends, oh my Allah, that they realize the reality of akhirat, oh my Allah. They have tasted the sweetness of Iman, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, our sarah has become bland, oh my Allah. There is no feeling in our tilawat anymore, oh my Allah. We take your name and we don't even think of you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us enjoyment in our ibadat, oh my Allah. Make our sarah pleasurable to us, my Allah. Make our zikr pleasurable to us. Ya Allah, make your obedience pleasurable to us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, when that temptation and desire will come our way, and we are prepared to break your command, oh my Allah, at that time you send your assistance to us, oh my Allah. Give us the sweetness of Iman in those moments, oh my Allah. Give us the realization of who we are, that we are the fruits of the garden of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What didn't he do for us, oh my Allah? Those nights he spent in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha, standing in salah until his feet became swollen, oh my Allah. He cried and cried and cried. His crying was not for Aisha and Fatima and Khadija. He cried for us, oh my Allah. He cried for us, oh my Allah. He made dua for us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, if you will save us and give us hidayat, it will make him happy, oh my Allah. It will cool his mubarak heart, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, don't make us a source of pain and discomfort to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Give us tawfiq of becoming good ummatis of his, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us the link and relationship with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that we understand and realize that our success is in following his life, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, give us love for the sunnah, oh my Allah. Give us tawfiq of making amal and practicing and bringing it into our lives, oh my Allah. Allow us to spread and teach it throughout the world, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us ambassadors of deen, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, accept us, accept our families, oh my Allah. Our wives who are at home, they have sacrificed so much for us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, for so many years they have been making our khidmat and service. We don't even thank them, we don't even express our gratitude before them. Oh my Allah, you reward them from your treasures, oh my Allah. Keep them in your hifazat, oh my Allah. Protect them, keep them with afiyat, sihat and salamat. Oh my Allah, our children, take care of them, guide them, oh my Allah. There are so many challenges and temptations out there, oh my Allah. We are afraid what is going to happen to them. Ya Allah, you protect their iman, oh my Allah. Protect their aqaid and beliefs, oh my Allah. Protect their a'mal and taqwa, oh my Allah. Keep them on sirat al-mustaqim. Ya Allah, accept them as khuddam and servants of your deen, oh my Allah. Make them awliya, make them hufaz, ulama, atqiya, sulaha, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, in our progeny till the day of qiyamah, ya Allah, let there be no kufr and shirk, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, till the day of qiyamah, keep our progeny with iman and islam, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, save us from the temptation of shaitan and dajjal, oh my Allah. All the fitnas that are there in today's time and in the future, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you protect and save us, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we
cannot do it without you, my Allah. We are completely ajiz and weak, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, in this world, an honorable person who is asked for help, he will feel hard to turn down that person. Ya Allah, there is no one more honorable than you, oh my Allah. There is no one more respectable than you, oh my Allah. There is no one more capable than you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, if you will turn to us, oh my Allah. If you will make a decision to guide us, no one can question you, my Allah. No one can oppose you, oh my Allah. No one can fight you. No one can match you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, pull us by our forelocks and take us into your mercy, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in your mercy, ya Allah. Envelope us in your mercy. Drench us in your mercy, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us hearts that will beat in your muhabbat and love, my Allah. Give us your recognition and marifat, my Allah. Give us your qurb and closeness, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in different parts of the world is going through so much of trauma and difficulty, my Allah. In Al-Aqsa, in Syria, in India, in different parts of the world. Oh my Allah, you strengthen their hearts, oh my Allah. Keep them firm upon your deen, oh my Allah. Reward them abundantly, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you send your angels to assist them, my Allah. Ya Allah, you could do it in Badr, you can do it now, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, the enemies of Islam, oh my Allah. They have become so bold and daring against us, oh my Allah. Every direction we turn, Islam is being threatened, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, if Hidayat is not written for them, show them your Qudrat, oh my Allah. Show them your power and your might, oh my Allah. Destroy them and remove them from this world, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, bring back the glory days of Islam, oh my Allah. How Islam was in Khairul Qurun, that a Muslim would walk in the street and he would be honored and respected, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you can do it, nothing is difficult for you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, protect the ummah throughout the world. Oh my Allah, where there is pain and suffering, you remove the pain and suffering. Ya Allah, where there is sickness and illness, you blow the winds of shifa, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, so many people have requested du'as, so many people are sick, oh my Allah. Doctors have given up hope on them. Their family members are in depression. Oh my Allah, you cool their hearts, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you give them shifa kamil, ajil, mustamir, daim, but no trace of any illness, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, nothing is impossible for you, oh my Allah. So many people are in debt, ya Allah, you provide for them halal, tayyib, rozi, oh my Allah. So many people are of marriageable age, you find for them suitable, compatible spouses, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, those who want children, give them pious, healthy, normal children, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you know the desires within our hearts. You know our needs and wants, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we don't have the hearts to ask, my Allah. We don't have the tongues to ask, my Allah. Ya Allah, we don't even know what to ask of you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, but you know the unspoken word also, oh my Allah. You know the thoughts that are going through our minds and hearts, ya Allah. Ya Allah, especially those gunas that are blocking our connection with you. Ya Allah, you know those gunas and sins that are finishing our lives, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you tonight, oh my Allah. Through your Qudrat and power, oh my Allah. Through your mercy and compassion, oh my Allah. Pull us out of our evil habits, oh my Allah. Give us pure and clean lives, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah. Blow the winds of Hidayat throughout the world, oh my Allah. Where there is kufr and shirk, you bring Iman and Islam. Where there is already Iman, ya Allah, you strengthen and grant Taraqqi. Oh my Allah, all the good works that are taking place, accept it, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are in i'tikaf, accept the i'tikaf. Give them tawfiq of spending the time in a manner that is pleasing to you. Ya Allah, all the tarawees that are taking place, you accept it, my Allah. Those who are reciting, those who are standing, oh my Allah, you accept all the good amal of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.